podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us. I am your host, Pastor Brian Heller. And today, as we continue on our podcast series speaking about specialized spiritual care ministry, we are going to be talking about God's mission in some places that occur in communities just like yours. So today, we are incredibly blessed to have with us Deaconess Raquel Rojas. Welcome, Deaconess Rojas. Could you introduce yourself to us and tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit of background and where you serve, things like that?
Sure. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be with you all today. My name is Raquel Rojas. I'm a deaconess of Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in the Bronx, New York. I have I've been there for about my internship year as a deaconess, and then they called me. So in total, about 15 years, 14 years as a called commission minister. And right now, I'm also the current LWML Atlantic District President, serving on that capacity, and also on the board of Concordia Deaconess Conference. So just a few hats.
Yes. So how did you get interested in becoming a deaconess?
Well, my parents, my dad is a pastor, retired now, and he would start Hispanic-speaking congregations in the U.S., so from there. But then my mom also is a deaconess, so not to say that we're part of the family plan or anything like that, but growing up, never wanting to be like my mom. No, I already looked like her. I didn't want to dress like her as well. But then the Lord called me, and it was the encouragement of my younger brother, who already knew that he wanted to be a pastor, and encouraged me to look into the deaconess studies in Fort Wayne.
Yeah, it's amazing how the Lord works through his means to, instill that inner call into us and that interest to serve in just different vocations, especially the vocation of deaconess, which is such such an important one to our church and our church body and members as well. And just being able to serve so many years in the same context, the same spot is an incredible blessing too. So thank you for that. So Deaconess Rojas, can you tell us, I guess, getting a little bit more specific about how and where you serve with respect to God's mission here in the United States? So specifically about New York, what does that look like? Things of that nature.
Sure. I'm in New York City in the Bronx, and it's the uppermost part of the Bronx. It's called Wakefield. They have a famous cemetery, a Woodlawn Cemetery. All these fancy people are there. So we're right on the edge, and from there, it's the end of the subway line. So if that gives you kind of some kind of perspective, but there is it's a multicultural city and borough in the Bronx. We have about mainly Hispanic speakers from all over the Caribbean, but then also all over from Africa, from even Germany, all the way over. So it's very multicultural. So just walking down White Plains Road, you could grab anything from an empanada to jerk chicken all in a few steps.
Yes.
So it's really a rich neighborhood. And to have the economic class of high, middle, and extremely low and nothing. So having that kind of gamut of people and also different religions. You walk out and you see different temples, different churches, different synagogues, and being able to kind of walk together in the same way to get to the same subway or the bus, but being able to just cohabitate and shop in the same places. So New York City is one that's very liquid. Some people stay and have been here for years and years, all their lives, and others come for a season and are leaving or called somewhere else. So we're blessed at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in the Bronx to have a congregation of 96 years going strong here. Wow. And we're excited for what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church is a parish of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod where God's people pray. Our mission is Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, by God's grace, is a praying community of service that receives, teaches, celebrates, and shares Christ Jesus. And that is their command, their marching steps to carry out what that mission is to a neighborhood who's constantly changing. And some might know Christ, some might not, some decide not to. So to be able to have that footprint here is a very unique opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this sounds like, from what you're describing, just a very diverse amount of culture around you, context around you, with just different socioeconomic categories going on, different religions, different ethnicities, so on and so forth. And you know, what a blessing to have Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Church, right there in the midst of it all, being able to minister to those folks and that community at large. So I guess, Deaconess Rojas, could you describe specifically some of the things that you do, just in connection with the church's mission to these folks? What are some of the roles you do, some of the things that you do as a deaconess?
Sure. A lot of things is, well, of course, moving chairs and tables, but yep. That just comes with everything.
Of course, yep.
A lot of visitations and being able to walk with people through the catechumenate. We do the ancient catechumenate model here for confirmation for adults and youth. I also am honored to be able to be in the midst of revitalizing and even encouraging our auxiliaries. All of our auxiliaries at Redeemer are named after body parts to help us remember that we are all part of the body of Christ. So, for instance, our wrist ladies, our women rejoicing in service to society, would be considered some of our altar guild or women guild or the like. So we have several of these body parts, auxiliaries, that I'm able to be part of and see how the mission of the church and being able to bring that out to the community and serving and equipping people to serve where they are. So along other little tasks that I do, of course, is with Altar Guild and just meeting with people, counseling and counseling youth, counseling women, young women, older women, men, young men, and relationship issues and the like. So having that opportunity has been something that I just cherish. Of course, with Sunday school and vacation Bibles, so everything that you could think of with religious education is somewhere there.
Sure, absolutely. And thank you so much for serving in that way, because I know firsthand, Deaconess Rojas, I'm married to a deaconess, so I know firsthand the important work that deaconesses do, especially that you're doing in New York City there. So, Deaconess Rojas, we're going to shift gears a little bit from, talking about the work that you're doing, the incredible work that you're doing there in the Bronx, and we're going to talk a little bit about clinical pastoral education, and tell our listeners a little bit about this. So for those that have been listening to our podcast series, this may have come up for church workers serving in chaplaincy roles at prisons, hospitals. When they apply for those roles and those positions, they quickly realize, if they don't know what it is, what CPE is, because most institutions have this as a requirement. Now, Deaconess Rojas, you've taken 4 units of CPE, so you've definitely been through the process. Can you briefly describe to our listeners what CPE is?
Clinical Pastoral Education, CPE, is one that is very intentional to look inside oneself. And I think that that's for me, that was my experience throughout the 4 units. They often give you readings and everything that's kind of dealing with faith and religion, but person, and seeing how those attributes and characteristics in a person always kind of go back to what their faith is and what that foundation is. But one of the things that always, I mean, when you hear some people hear CPE, think verbatims, and you have to go and just do a verbatim, everything that was said and describe the whole event. And that was very transformative, because it's not so much that it was a recording or anything like that, but what I received from it and what I hoped that person that I visited received from it as well. So being able to have a group to look at how we do things, how we say things, how that could come out was one that was very intrusive and different versus some of the other kind of education that I had growing at the seminary and the like. It was more so on the person and how we actually present ourselves and what we're representing.
Right, absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing about that, Deacon Sparajas. And I know from my CPE experience as well, that I know the first day of CPE that I took, the CPE educator said pretty much, he said, you get, what you put into the program. You're going to get out what you put in. So if you put in a lot of effort, you're going to get a lot of benefits from it. And I found that to be true, especially with the things that you're talking about.
Yeah.
For me personally, I found that it was very helpful. You kind of mentioned this too, just the growth in self-awareness and active listening skills. I thought that they did a really good job of developing that for me. And like you said, Deaconess Rojas, I do remember the verbatims as well. That still brings some tears to my eyes, going through trying to remember everything, and a very intense process. But certainly a lot of benefits from some of those exercises there as well. So Deaconess Rojas, can you describe some of the joys and challenges that you had in your CPE experience?
Some of the things that I really took away was, as you had mentioned, listening, the active listening, but hearing what they're saying and then hearing what has not been said. And of course, not filling it in for them, but being able to journey with them so that what has been said and what hasn't been said can culminate and be something so that I did my, just a backpedal a little bit. I did my CPE, all four units, at Calvary Hospital, which is palliative care. And so these were mainly just those who are minutes away from passing. So being able to walk with them in these times can be full of fear, full of joy, full of hope, full of just wondering and anxiety. So being able to hear in a certain way what they're saying, what they're not saying, and being able to journey with them through that, I think was the biggest honor that one could have. So that was a big joy, although it was hard because my CPE was in a Roman Catholic institution, but it was interfaith. So I would be able to kind of talk with every patient, as that was part of the deal, but being able to hear the stresses that they have. So some of the challenges was I would walk in there with my garb, my uniform, and they knew that I was a Christian. But the challenge of not being able to say certain things, having your hands tied was a little bit hard, but being able to physically care for them, physically get things for them was a part of the joy that, and the challenge in the same breath.
Sure. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And just exactly what you're saying, right? I mean, there's, again, we've talked a lot about the listening skills, self-reflection that comes with some of that growth that you experience in CPE. But again, Deaconess Rojas, you talked about some of the challenges of, usually hospitals and CPE programs have some restrictions about what you can and cannot say when you're visiting folks. And, just over the years, that's become increasingly more problematic, especially for us as Lutherans that our mission is really to go out and to bring the love of Christ to those entrusted to our care. Mm-hmm. And that just, the tension between that and what CPE restricts us is something that that is definitely a challenge for for this program and our church workers participating in it. So, Deacon Rojas, could you maybe describe for us and our listeners how clinical education, such as CPE, like if a church worker is going to do CPE, how that can be considered a mission field?
Sure. I mean, 100%. The CPE, just the training, is a mission field because it's one that sometimes you're the only one in the room looked at to bring the word of God, looked at to bring the law, bring the gospel, and to be able to do that in ways that are specific, it's not for everyone. A CPE is not for everyone, but it is for those who are in, who are able to have the thick skin, if you will, but to be able to journey with people who need it. And I think that, I mean, specialized ministry and seeing that this is something that is looked at in a way that brings individual meeting people where they are. And sometimes where they are is not somewhere that they should be or they shouldn't be. And having guts and the boldness in Christ to walk with them and meet them there is going to, one, shock them and be like, whoa, okay. But being able to meet them there and see how Christ has been with them the whole time and giving them the aha moments is a unique thing, but it's a very, it's a thing that I just absolutely love and look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Deacon Rojas, do you have any examples from your CPE experience of, you know, maybe when this is played out or anything that just sticks out from the experience for you?
Yeah, some of this is an experience. As I said, it was a hospital setting. So sure. I would walk into these rooms and they all looked the same. And the bed would be in the center, chairs around them. Some of them were filled with people. Other times there were nobody in the chair. But the patient, and being able to knock on the door and walk in and to say, hey, how are we feeling today? And just starting the conversation and being able to journey with them just to say hi. Sometimes, I mean, there are some times that they're like, okay, I'm not in the mood for this one. So give me a glass of water and be on your way. And that was something that was like, oh, you don't want to talk. So not to say that hurt my feelings, but I was just like, okay. But there was one instance that it was very much, she was not a Christian, but she liked to talk. She liked to be hearing about different views and the like. So she was one that our group all visited and kind of got the verbatims to see how the conversation went. My experience with her was that she was open and surprised. And I think that was one that stuck with me. The surprise fact of that Jesus is one and who loves her in the midst of anything and everything and died for her, whether she likes it or not, and whether she could do anything about it or not. It was all 100% on him. And she could not really conceptualize that too much, but she was, in a way, like, in awe of that, which I think is what Christians do. We don't understand how that is, but we're thankful for that. And to be able to journey with this specific person was something that I'm always going to kind of hold with. And then that was one story. And then another one is she was a Christian and her denomination was very, very much part of her faith and how she was even taking her last breaths and her family was around her and everything. But in this time, I could say very boldly, I could pull out our beautiful confessions and doctrine and how the suffering of the cross and being able to say, yeah, it's nothing that we can do. It's everything Christ can do. It has done for us. And that was such a relief for the entire room. And to have that opportunity to just share that with them was something that was, it allowed me to see the need of what we're teaching and confessing to share with so many other people that don't know.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing those examples of just how you can bring the light of Christ, the love of Christ, to such a diverse amount of situations for the non-Christian and the Christian too, who does not have that Lutheran, biblical understanding of really how God works. I found that in my own experience too, that people would be Christians, but they, you know, it would be Jesus plus something else, right? And there was not that comfort, that hope, that assurance that comes with Christ crucified and everything is on him, just as you were describing. So thank you so much for bringing those two examples to our listeners and describing the work that clinical pastoral education provides for our workers to go out there and bring that love of Christ to those in those situations. All right. So Jacob Rojas, as we're wrapping up, is there any final words of wisdom and encouragement you can provide to our listeners?
For those who are interested in taking any kind of CPE or looking at specialized ministry, we're all called as children of God to do what we're called to do, as to proclaim Christ in the midst of everyone, and not to be afraid of any of that, but to do it in a way that he's gifted to us. And I think that as Christians, God's given us such great talents and gifts for every individual. And I'm not going to be able to journey to some places that maybe you would be able to journey to, but that we have the foundation, we have the courage and the confidence to walk in and say, yes, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in God the Holy Spirit, and to say that with boldness, but to do it with listening and listening ears, listening heart, listening mind, and to be able to receive what they give.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Deaconess, for joining us today and for the work that you're doing there in New York City. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to God's Mission Here. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review, and don't forget to click that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. All right, thank you again. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.
Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.